So being that this week there's no Pasha, there's no Pasha this week.
What do you mean? We're learning Yosef Bracha.
By when? Shabbos? Not on
yesterday
Shabbos. Yesterday
we learned
Yosef. I know, but Shabbos, we're learning
Yosef
Bracha.
Today.
Sit down.
Shabbos is no Yosef Bracha. There's no Pasha.
Oh,
so,
I thought maybe, no?
Okay. I had a half a mino. So I'll tell you all this story. I had a half a mino of not saying Shia tonight after, because there's no Pasha. I figured we'll start. I didn't have time to prepare. It was a hard week. Everybody's busy this week, and I had a half mean of not saying a share tonight. And I basically made up my mind.
No way.
I'm telling you the truth. I'll tell you what happened. I'll tell you the story. I basically made up my mind last night that okay, I'll skip a week. Is that, you know, okay? I said I didn't have time to prepare. I'm not gonna have time tomorrow. I know what today was gonna be like.
And
can I finish the story? So, I made my mind that it was not that tonight we just learned the daf, daf marv, that's it. When kippah, everybody has things to do, and so on. Because I was in shul this morning, and after davening, I'm going to say mazel tov to somebody. And cool, fine. On the way back, somebody stops me. I'm not saying any names of Rabin, but the person who stopped me knows who he is, and he said to me, "I want to thank you for all your shiurim on a Thursday night. I want to thank you for all the shiurim that you give on Thursday night, even though I don't come in person because I can't come, but I listen to them on the tape. I get the recording. Go to Scott with me. It's good sense. It. I get the recording, and I want you to know. Thank you very much. I appreciate your shiurim very much. So thank you very much. I heard that. I said to myself, it's a simon min hashemayim that there has to be a shiur tonight. So I said, okay, whatever it takes, I'm going to have to put together something to say. So at 7 o'clock this morning, there was no shiur. By 8 o'clock this morning, things changed, and we'll have a shiur. Okay. So I'll say,
thank you.
Whoever knows who he is, and he's Mazakis HaRabim tonight. So you never know what a kind word could do. You never know what a kind word could do to somebody. Okay.
Every kibbutz.
Okay. Shkayach. Okay. I'm publicly saying thank you. That's okay. moving on. So we'll save us some things that I said over in the past. And happen to have seen the wellsprings of Torah today. You had a lot of nice stories. So I'll put together a lot from the wellsprings of Torah. And we'll put together a few yonah d'yayimah. Okay, starting off, it comes Yom Kippur. So we're all familiar with the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah after Zion. The Gemara tells us, Shrosh Sfarim Niftach Mufar. The three Sfarim opened before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What are the three Sfarim? Sifrei Tzadikim, Sifrei Beinanim, and Sifrei Rishoyim. The Sefer of the Tzadikim, Sefer of the Beinanim, those are 50-50 in Wil Taich, and the Sefer of the Rishoyim. Tzadikim are written right away, L'chaim. They're written in the Sifrei Tzadikim. The Rishoyim are written right away, the Sifrei Rishoyim. And the Beinanim, it depends. If they do tshuva, then they are judged for good. If they're Rishoyim, they don't do tshuva, they're judged for bad. And the Ma'aril asks, why Bechlal is there a Sefer of Beinanim for? Mamonoshach. If they do good, they'll end up in the Sefer of the Tzadikim. If they don't do good, they'll end up in the Sefer of the Rishoyim. Why is it necessary to have a third Sefer? Have two Sforim. Sifrei Tzadikim and Sifrei Rishoyim. Why is there Sifrei Beinanim? And the answer is a very powerful parents. And the answer is, because when a Beinanim does tshuva, he's even greater than a tzaddik. Because when makom shemalit tshuva imdim, ain't tzaddik gemur mayim. So a Beinanim has to have his own sefer. Because if a Beinanim does tshuva, he's even on a higher level than a tzaddik. Because a person who does tshuva is in a place where even tzaddik gemurim can't stand. The power of tshuva is so strong. Sheila Belzer says, why don't we make a Shechiyonu at the beginning of Yom Kippur? Every Yom Kippur we make a Shechiyonu. Somehow Yom Kippur and a Shechiyonu seem not to match too well. Why don't we make a Shechiyonu with Frat and Yom Kippur? There's no, what's new? And he says, you know what's new? The person himself. You're making a Shechiyonu because you are a new person. The Yom Kippur renews a person, makes a person new. A person does tshuva. A person changes his ways. You're not the same old person you were yesterday. You're a new person. You make a Shechiyonu on yourself, that you're renewing yourself. By doing tshuva, a person changes, and he's not the same person he was yesterday. You say over the story, Baruch Ber was well known for his kibud Ava'im. And at the end of his father's life, his father was sick, and he needed somebody to be with him at night. And Reb Baruch Ber, even though the tremendous responsibilities on his shoulders, spent every night with his father. One night, he wasn't able to be there, and he appointed someone else to take his place. And that night, unfortunately, his father was left. His father passed away. And Reb Baruch Ber was tremendously troubled by it. Had I been there, maybe it wouldn't have happened. I wasn't there. He wasn't at peace with himself. He went to the Chofetz Chaim. And he said over what happened to the Chofetz Chaim. And the Chofetz Chaim told him, if it bothers you that much, do tshuva. See? I'm sorry for what happened. And when you do tshuva, you're a new person. You're not the same Baruch Ber that you were yesterday. You're a new person today. And it's true that maybe it bothered the Baruch Ber of yesterday. But if they do tshuva, it shouldn't bother the Baruch Ber of today. And the Baruch Ber walked out from the Chofetz Chaim's house, they say, dancing, I'm a new person. I'm not the same person I was yesterday. A person becomes new, a person does tshuva, a person can be misakein and fix what he did. And that's the Kleiach Yom Kippur, we can do tshuva. We know in the Shemani Esri of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, U'bechein tein pachtecha, the word of Bechein is used a few times, U'bechein, U'bechein, U'bechein. So the Machzarim bring down already from the Avudraham, U'bechein is a reference to the Pasuk in the Megillah. U'bechein avoy al ha-melech ha-shaloi chados, that Esther said, I will come into the Melech. So we start the Shemoneh Esrei, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, V'chein Tein Pachtecho, V'chein, as a remez to this pasuk, U'V'chein Ovo Yomach. And with this, I will come to the king. A remez that we're coming into the king on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Those are Rebbe said, the Iker is not the beginning of the pasuk, but the end of the pasuk. V'chein Ovo Yomach, Asheloi Chados. What did Esther say? I'm coming into the king, Asheloi Chados, not according to the law. I have no right to be here. He didn't call me. Yom Kippur u'b'chein, I'm coming to the Melech Hashavai Chados. Even though I really have no business being here. Me? I know what I did a whole year. I know the Averis I did. I know what I have to be misaking. But Fakat, Yom Kippur Hashavai Chados. Even though a person is not fitting to enter the palace of the king, everybody has a right to be here. U'b'chein. A person does tshuva, feels sorry, a person has a right to be there. But we have to believe that tshuva helps. That tshuva has that kayach. Every person can do tshuva, and it can cleanse a person from his Averis. What do we say? Vidui, Hashamnu, Bagadnu, Gazanu, Dibanu, Doifi. We go through the Vidui. It follows the state of the Aleph base. Hashamnu starts with the Aleph, base is Bagadnu, Gimel is Gazanu, Dibanu, Doifi is a Dalet, Hevav, Tainu, Titanu, all the way to Otaf. We follow the Aleph base. Okay? A person does a various, he's pegging the 22 letters of the Aleph base, he's Mesakein, does Tshuva. Before we say Hashamnu, we say Chotanu, we sinned. What's the purpose of saying Chotanu before Hashamnu? We're giving a whole list. Hashamnu, Maganu, Gazanu. Before we start off Chotanu, we sinned. We sinned. We're saying Hashamnu, Maganu, Gazanu. Aval anachnu v'aviseinu Chotanu. And the answer that's given is, before a person even saying Vidui, the first word you have to say is that we sinned. Person has to admit that he sinned and he was wrong. Once you admit that you sinned, then you go in and say vidui. The Rishis Chochma brings down that once a person says Chotanu or Chotasi, I sinned, the Sultan can't be Mekatrik anymore. Once you say Chotasi, I sinned, you admit you were wrong, the Sultan can't stop. So we say Chotanu first, we sinned, and then you can go into detail. Hashamnu, Magadnu, Gazanu, all the Averis that we did. And even though many times a person might think to himself, you know, this Avera doesn't apply to me. Did I really do this Avera?
Sure.
Or the Acheitz. This one applies to me. I didn't do this Avera. I didn't do that Avera. Each person could sort of start limiting which Acheitz he wants to say.
Mm-hmm.
Teretz is, if we think enough, you find a connection. Every Avera is not only the Iker Avera. There's the Tofel, the subcategories, and the sub-subcategories. Mertzicha.
Murder? We didn't kill anybody.
But what about Mal Pnei Chavera Berabim?
Maybe.
There's so much underneath each one. And every Avera that a person did, it's all included.
Okay. You're going to have in mind another person. No Shechatan, no.
That's true, but that's not the ideal. Don't have Yom Kippur in mind. I'm doing Shua for Yenim. That's not what Yom Kippur is about.
He's a real Rasha.
He's a real Rasha. Yom Kippur is not Yenim Didi.
Don't be pointing fingers.
Yom Kippur is not Yenim Didi Avera. Yom Kippur is Yenim Didi Avera. I have to do Shuva. I forget. If you have a chance, if you have a chance, take out the Chaye Odom.
Shouldn't be too
and he adds on, for each shulad of the Aleph phase, he adds on suggested other Aveiris. By Aleph, like a Chalti, I ate food that wasn't, a Chalti, I ate food that wasn't, meant, it wasn't proper to eat, and so on. Whatever it might be, you have, he adds on for each letter a few more suggestions to say. If you have a chance, take a chayot and just look at the list. Take a look at the list. It won't hurt. Take a look at the, but the first thing a person to say is chatosi is I sin. The basis role, the Gerer basis role, two bachrim on basis Mevrish, and they talked by davening at a time they weren't supposed to talk. So basis role called the two bachrim over. He spoke to the first one privately. He said to the first one, because you talked, for 2 weeks, you can't come back with the base medish. 2 weeks out, 2 weeks. So the Bacha said, I didn't talk. He was talking. I was just listening to him.
Very familiar.
So the Rebbe said, if that's the case, 6 weeks.
4 weeks.
Huh? 6 weeks. Say the medish was 6 weeks. Wow. He calls over the second Bacha. He says to the second Bacha, talk to her davening, 2 weeks. The Bacha says, you're right. I talked. He said, I talked. And I made a mistake. And I'll be making myself not to talk again. Rebbe said, that's the case.
Zero.
You could stay. Once a person admits that he's wrong, that's the first step. A person has to admit that he was wrong. When a person starts to have all the excuses and reasons and justification, chatasi. The person says he's wrong, it's makes the dinim much, much easier. The person walks in there and I'll say, al-chayt. First chatasi, first I sinned. You sinned? Then you go ahead and listen to details. But first admit that you sinned. The first thing a person has to do is to admit that he sinned. They say over, I think Shmuel Pashiska says over, the Ikar Din is not so much on the Averis that a person did. The Ikar Din is wanting to do tshuva for the Averis that he did.
He's doing it now.
So do tshuva. Why did the person do tshuva for the Averis that he did? Many times people have excuses. You know why I couldn't do this mitzvah? You know why I was a pesheya? I was right. Every excuse. We all have excuses. Excuses are fine. But does it bother you that you missed out? Does it bother you you didn't do the mitzvah? You might have a good excuse. You might have a good reason why you didn't do a mitzvah. But does it bother you that you missed? Does it bother you that you have an excuse? Do you feel bad about it? Sometimes a person might have been exempt from a mitzvah. Or might have been in a situation where he had to do the Aveira. You have cases in the Gemara, a person could do an Aveira. But does it bother you that you have to do the Aveira? Does it bother you that you had an excuse? A person should feel bad that he had an excuse, a reason. A person has to think over what he did through the year. And do tshuva for what has to be done. But the first step is chatasi, I sinned. A person admits that he sinned, that opens the door. It opens the door for everything that follows.
Without having a specific sin in mind,
in general. Can anyone say they're a tzaddik?
Some can.
I don't know. Too many people can. Okay.
I don't know.
That's another chayt because he's going to be. That's another. Oh, fine. Okay. Here we go. Anyway, there's two stories to end off, and we'll just make it fast.
No, don't make it fast.
Two stories. They're both Nageya, one's Nageya Sokis, but I think the message will come across from Kippur as well. I think I said a story about last year, but it'll bring a smile, but it's a worthwhile story. Like the oldest stories go in the olden days, they had trouble finding a lulav and an esrog. Baruch Hashem today, lulav and esrogim are a dime a dozen, depending how much you want to spend.
$30.
Fine. But they're available. It's available for the taking. In the old days, we heard so many stories where there were towns that had no lulav and no esrig, and they had the mice and nefesh to come across one set for the entire town to use. Well, in a certain particular town, they couldn't find a lulav and an esrig, no matter how far they traveled. They sent out messages to find a lulav and an esrig. They weren't successful. After trying very, very hard, they finally came across one set, but the Meich, the seller, wanted a Heinrav, wanted a large sum of money, well beyond the means of any individual person. So the Gaboy of the town called a meeting, and it was decided that everybody would contribute towards the cost, and if everybody contributes a certain minimum amount, it will add up to enough to buy one set, and to buy one Ruv of Esrig and Das Varavis for the entire town. And they went around collecting from door to door, asking for donations for the Ruv and Esrig. Of course, every town has its miser who refuses to give any tzedakah or to any charitable cause. He can't part with its money. And the Gamboim go to his house and they say, listen, this is not a regular charity we're collecting for. This is for your benefit as well. Because you need the mitzvah, and if you're not going to give us the money, and the miser, Meshim Eifin, refuses to give. And the Gamboim threatened him. If you don't give us,
you're
not going to be able to use that lulav and esrog. We're going to buy it, and we're not going to give it to you to use. You won't be able to use it. It's your advantage to participate in the mitzvah, and the miser refused. They collected enough money without the miser's donation, and they bought that one lulav and that one esrog for the entire town. Comes the first day of Sukkos.
The miser wants.
Everybody lines up, and everybody holds over that, makes a bracha, shakes the lulav, pisses to the next person, everybody's waiting in line. And the miser's waiting in line also to use the lulav and esrog. The Gaboyim are managing, watching over the lulav and esrog. The miser comes, stop. They skip over, you're not using lulav and esrog. You did not participate, it's not yours. You have no right to use the lulav and esrog, and they skip over him. And the miser starts, what do you mean? I'm a yid, I need a mitzvah. And the Gaboyim sticks to his guns, absolutely not. We're not going to use the lulav and esrog. After davening is over, the gabbai walks out holding the lulav and esrog. The miser runs and says, please, let me use it. Absolutely not. And he starts screaming at the gabbai screams back, and they have a screaming match about the lulav and esrog. Finally, the miser realizes that the gabbai is sticking to, he's not giving the lulav and esrog. The miser wants to do the mitzvah. He picks up the gabbai who's holding the lulav and esrog. He picks up the gabbai who's holding the lulav and esrog. He starts shaking the gabbai in one direction, in another direction, up and down with the lulav and esrog.
That's what I would do.
Okay. Puts the gabbai down, he walks away.
Poor gabbai.
Fast forward.
Picking up Ellie.
A while later, this miser passes away. Comes to the Eil Mavis. And they bring his mitzvahs, his averis. It doesn't look good for him. He has a lot of averis, the mitzvahs. It doesn't look too good for him. They bring, he suffered this, he was sick. Scots got a little bit closer. But not enough to tilt the scales in his favor. Suddenly a malach comes running and the malach says, wait a minute. A while back, he was
shuckled.
So desperate to do the mitzvah of Ulv and Esrig that he mamish went ahead and he fought for it. And when the gabbai didn't give in, he actually picked up the gabbai and he shook him. We have to add that mitzvah onto the scale. Din Shemayim, is it considered taking the lulav or not? I'm not going to enter any of the... The kids said, they said, okay, put it on the side. It's a mitzvah, it goes on the scale. It wasn't enough. He's still a little bit short. At the last minute, another malach comes running and says, wait a minute. You forgot to give him credit
for
the tircha that he had in picking up the gabbai. Took effort. It wasn't easy to pick up the gabbai. It took effort to hold the gabbai. And you just put him down right away. But he held the gabbai enough time to shake in one direction, another direction, and all four directions up and down. Give him extra credit for all the tircha and the effort that he displayed in doing the mitzvah.
You have a good lawyer.
And they said, fine. Gave him credit, and it tilted the scales in his favor. Okay. That's the story. What's the point of the story?
Everything helps.
The point of the story is, sometimes we do a mitzvah and it's a little bit difficult. And what do? We kvetch. And we complain, the mitzvah's difficult. There's no parking spot. I had to walk the extra block. Right? It's the end of the world. I had to walk the extra block. I tried. It was hot. And I stayed in shul even though it was hot. It was difficult to learn. I was tired. We kvetch. We like to complain. Human nature. People like to complain. Look at it a little differently. Do you realize how much schar we have when the mitzvah's a little bit difficult?
Absolutely.
It's worth a lot more. The schar is so much greater. So much greater when you don't want to do it, when you have difficulty doing the mitzvah, and you do it anyway, the schar is so much, so much greater. It comes Yom Kippur. What's the attitude? I'm hungry. It's hard. I'm fasting. Chas v'sholom.
No good.
Chas v'sholom. The attitude of Yom Kippur is just the opposite. Sure. Why don't we eat Yom Kippur? Is it a punishment?
Yeah,
why? Because of sad events that happened?
Why?
It's not a Tisha B'Av. It's not a sad event. If I can't, it's a day of Mechil and Tzlicha. It's a tremendous, the mission in Tainis. Ein Yom Tov Mu Yisrael. Chachamisha Asa Ba'al B'chiyam Kim Kippurim. It's a day of Matan Torah also. Moshe came down with the second Luchais on Yom Kippur. We don't think of Yom Kippur as being a day of Matan Torah. It's a day of Matan Torah as well. The day Moshe brought down the Luchais. It's a tremendous, tremendous day. Tzlicha Mechil. It's a great day of Simcha. You know why we fast? Because we don't need to eat. We're Malachim. Malachim don't eat. We don't need to eat. Not because we're fasting, it's an einish. We're fasting because we're trying to... Malachim don't eat. We're not human. For one day a year, we escape reality.
Hey.
Maybe this is reality. The whole rest of the year, we tackle mixed up. But you know, one day a year is reality. We're in the shul, we're a kittel, dressed in white, like Malachim. We stand our feet together, like Malachim. We're doing it to Malachim. Malachim don't eat. We don't have to eat Yom Kippur. Not that we're not allowed, not that we want to eat and we can't eat. In Yiddish, we said this all many times, the saying is, on Tishbel we say, Ver ken essen, who could eat? Tishbel is such a sad day, how could you even bring yourself to eat?
How could you eat?
How could you eat?
Right.
In Kippur we say, Ver daf essen, who has to eat? Who needs to eat? It's such a holy day, it's such a day, we're above this world, out of this world. Who even needs to eat? Mundane activities to eat? Who needs to eat on a day of Yom Kippur? Now, in the olden days, people would stay up the night of Yom Kippur. They stayed in shul and would stay up the entire night. Okay, it's hard for us to do. But who needs to be a human being for one day? Avoid it. Pick ourselves above it. Ver dafes. And who needs to eat? It's not a punishment. Look at the attitude changes. The whole day changes now. It's not four more hours to go, three more hours to go. I can't wait. When's it going to end? Fakir, does it have to end? Does it have to come to an end? Do I have to come back to reality? Say, you feel certain emotions that comes to the end of Nilo, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim seven times. You're up there in the clouds. Do you have to come down? There's a very dafes, and who has to eat? So they, but Chassidim, Mitzvahim, they don't call Yom Kippur. It's called Yom HaKadosh.
It's Yom HaKadosh.
It's not Yom Kippur. It's a holy day. It's a whole different attitude, a whole different description of the day. Becomes Yom HaKadosh. And that's what it is. It's not a day I can't eat. Oh, how many hours left? 24. Oh, we have to. It's Yom HaKadosh. You know, the Velti Estakasha. I'll stop a minute. The Velti Estakasha. When do we say Baruch Shem Kavoy Machusel Gavoy out loud? Right away we start. Motzei Yom Kippur Ma'ariv, we're back to Baruch Shem Yisrael Wall already.
Yeah.
Shouldn't the opposite be?
Hungry.
The closing Yom Kippur, we got a peck of Avevis. We're going to work on getting rid of our Avevis.
What's in your mind?
Finally, Motzei Yom Kippur, Slicha Mechila, we should give a scream, Baruch Shem. No, Motzei Yom Kippur, you're back to being the regular person that you are. Why is that? Teretz is because a person is in the direction that he's heading. Where are you going? Beginning of Yom Kippur, what are you thinking about? You're heading into a day of Slicha Mechila. You're already on a different point, a different level. You can say Baruch Shem. Ma'ariv Yom Kippur, what are we thinking about already? Thinking about what we're going to eat, what we're going to do, and how it has to be done. Back to this world a little bit. It's true, we're busy with mitzvahs.
You're right, Kishkavani,
busy with mitzvahs. But we're already back down, we're already headed down into the mundane world again. We're headed back into the mundane world again. Therefore, we say Baruch Shem, all. But Yom Kippur has a tremendous kayach. They have elevation. One more story, then we'll stop. Remeir Pamishlan was known to bring Yeshuas to people, and his kayach, or the way he covered it over, was when a person told him a story or a tzara, he would quote the Gemara or Maim Chazal or a Pasik, as if to say, based on this Maim Chazal, your situation has to improve. And being the tzaddik that he was, when he would say such a Maim Chazal, situation improved. And a very famous story. Meir Pamishlan, unfortunately, one year his daughter was very sick. His daughter was not well. And he went through Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, so came Simchas Torah, he's about to start HaKafis, the Gabbai comes running in and says that his daughter is more in the next world than in this world, and he should quickly come to his daughter. He comes running to his daughter, he saw the situation, walks back into the Beis Medrash, opens Aron Kodesh, and he says the following, Rabbeinu Shiloh, you commanded us to blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah. He said to himself, for Meir. He said, Meir, blow shofar Rosh Hashanah. You commanded us to fast on Yom Kippur. Meir fasted on Yom Kippur. You commanded us to take a luv and an esrog on Sukkot. Meir took a luv and an esrog on Sukkot. You commanded us to eat in the Sukkah. Meir ate in the Sukkah during Sukkot. You commanded us to be besimcha on Yom Tov. To have our kofetz to be besimcha. Meir's besimcha. You also commanded us, what the Mishnah says in Brachas, Chayev Odom Mavarech Ahara, Geshem Shu Mavarech Alatoiva. That a person has to make a bracha if unfortunately a bad event happens with the same simcha that it makes a bracha when a good event happens. Very difficult. But so says the Mishnah, make a bracha Ahara, has to be the same recognizing it's all from Hashem, same simcha as you do on a taiva. I'm besimcha from Yomtiv. And the Gemara tells us, Ein ma'arvin simcha besimcha. Can't mix together two simchas. Can't mix together two simchas. I already have my first simcha. There's no need for the simcha when you make a bracha al hara. He stopped. He went to our kofis besimcha, and his daughter eventually recovered and had a refuah. Okay, that's the story that they say over. Again, point of the story is, whatever happens, everybody throughout the year, we had our good times, we had our rough times. Everybody goes through it. Everybody has their easier times, everybody has their harder times. We have our worries, we have our yeshiva das. Everybody has their ups and downs. The key is to remember that it all comes from Hashem. And it's all with a din and a cheshbin, and not necessarily do we understand everything. We don't. And we're not going to understand everything. We're happy talking, we trust that it all comes from Hashem, and Hashem does everything for good. And when we realize everything we have comes from Hashem, it changes the whole story and how we relate to what happens and how Hashem watches over us. The more we trust in Hashem and we ask from Hashem, Hashem relates back to us. So Yom Kippur is a day where we connect, a day where we're out of this world. So there's about not much time left for Yom Kippur, the mitzvah to eat. Tomorrow we say Avinu Malkeinu Meshachris. Because when Yom Kippur is on Shabbos, you don't say Avinu Malkeinu on Shabbos, you say it by Shachris.
You don't say
Erev Yom Kippur. You won't say Avinu Malkeinu tomorrow. But tomorrow we do say it because Yom Kippur is Shabbos. Since it's Shabbos, we don't say Avinu Malkeinu only by Nigo, so we say Avinu Malkeinu Meshachris tomorrow Yom Kippur. Okay, being that tomorrow's a mitzvah to eat.
Oh, yeah.
But again, eat the right way. Eat Bekedusha. Eat the right way. Person eats the right way. It's a tremendous mitzvah. Eat the right way.
The Kaaba is supposed to bring honey cake tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
There's all going down to the honey cake.
Okay. Good. Gmachsim etayv. Good Gaben Shia. And just 30 seconds. The Babi's tradition is a story everyone knows, but mitzvah to say it over anyway. He comes to the shul by Kol Nidre, and he starts looking under all the benches. And he looks under all the benches, and people are wondering what he wants. And Kol Nidre is not starting, but Rishim is looking under all the benches. So finally, he walks around the whole shul, everybody's watching him, what's he up to? After he finishes, only the B'dashiva can do it. Gustav his hands, Ari B'dashiva Shalom, look, you gave Klai Yisrael a mitzvah to eat, a mitzvah to drink. Not one shikir here in shul. If you would have been going in the midst of the party to eat and drink, how many shikirim you would have, lying on the floor, sleeping on the floor. Mika amcha Yisrael, they had a mitzvah to eat. There's not one shikir, everyone's standing, doim malachim, forgive Klal Yisrael. We're special. When we know it. Klal Yisrael is special. Compare ourselves to the guy in the world out there, we could go for hours. We're special, and we know it. But we have to remember it. So, tomorrow, Yom Kippur, we're special. We're going up. Let's move in the right direction. Doimut malachim. Let's not keep it. We should be able to retain that level after Yom Kippur. Kosh Baruch Hu should bench us all with Machasim Etoidu, Kukit Ben Shia, Rafuas, Yeshuas, and whatever, Bakoshis, Panos, whatever person needs. And we should be Zaycha to do what's right. And maybe this year, we'll have the Gugu Shalem, Zaycha to the Gugu Shalem, Meherim Shemeinu.